Attention in the jungle. All lights, sound, and animation to begin immediately. Please stand clear.
I'm not going to be specific about anything because who knows when these are, or what order I air these in.
Right.
Okay. How do we?
So I want to keep it vague. Let me just say this. Happy February 1st, 2023, everyone.
Damn it.
Edit it out immediately.
Or for coverage, happy February 15th.
Hey, or, happy February 15th.
Or more realistic coverage. So we were a little late with this next episode.
No, we're working early this time.
We're doing pretty good.
Yeah. And I can't, and you've been, you're the one that's doing like 90% of the work. Literally 90% of the work.
It's a treat.
And for some reason, I'm the one that gets all of the messages.
That's the story of my life.
That's why I screenshot them and I send them to you immediately.
I'm the, what's the least popular Marx brother?
That'd be Gummo.
Gummo? I'm the Gummo to your Harpo.
Gummo became, he became a wealthy businessman and he married Barbara Sinatra, right? So you don't want to be Gummo.
Right.
You don't want to be Gummo. You want to be Zeppo.
Actually, Gummo. Oh,
Zeppo. He was the best singer in the group.
Zeppo.
And then he quit being the fourth Marx brother and then went into business with Gummo as an entertainer, as an agent. And he helped make Lucille Ball famous.
Really?
Yep. He was one of her early agents. Zeppo Marx.
Did they stay Zeppo and Gummo?
Yep. That was their names to each other.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Yep, because it had been like nicknames since they were in their 20s.
Okay.
And that's what everybody called them, so they just...
Now, the trick is, and here's the deal.
Called them that.
Gummo is a brilliant businessman because he was able to offload Barbara on Frank Sinatra. He convinced Frank Sinatra, yeah, Barbara's
the winner. That's where you want to go. You really want to marry this one.
I wanted to talk about, it came up at Strongwater, as many things do.
Yes.
Weird Walt Disney quotes. And I have a personal favorite one, and it's going to be a paraphrase of one, because I don't have it exactly.
Okay.
But I wanted to know if you knew of any that you thought were weird. Like, because he always has, like, inspirational, I remember it all started with a mouse, and blah, blah, blah. Like, all those ones they always trot out.
Yeah.
But there's one that I recall him saying, where he's talking about Cleo the goldfish. And he's talking about how there's a certain sensuality in a goldfish.
Oh, she's a sensual goldfish.
That is.
Have you seen her? She's all like with her fins and she's.
Oh, have I?
She's working. She's working with God, with what God gave her, you know, she knows what her tools are. Her eyelashes.
I thought that was a weird Walt quote that they don't normally trot out very often.
They don't put him mentioning the sexuality of different characters.
No,
nor would you want that if you were in the company.
I mean, wait until he talks about Daisy Duck. That gets graphic.
They do advertise that part. That's the weird thing. They make that part very clear.
When they tried to put pants on the ducks, he's like, no pants.
No pants.
Why, Walt? No reason.
Don't ever discuss this again. Wow. So it's like working with Walt. Don't talk about pants on the ducks. Okay.
So do you know of any, do any pop into mind?
Nothing weird.
Cause there's always stuff like there was always, it's a very, KFC kernel image that it's a sanitized image of Walt nowadays.
Yeah.
And I always like seeing like glimpses of him being like a real human being.
Yeah. No. No, the only, it's not a story. It's just a weird bit of him as a boss. He would never compliment you on your work.
Okay.
Like, for example, like you made my logo for me. I would never compliment you on it, but I would tell Jess how great it was.
Interesting.
And so Jess would tell you, wow, Dave really loves your logo. It's like, why don't just tell Trevor? So, but he wouldn't. And so he was very weird with his praise and I guess his regular quote, if he liked what you were doing, he would say, here, I hear you have the best scene in the picture.
Oh.
Which is not saying, I think it's the best. It's, I hear you have the best scene in the picture.
Is that like a psychological thing or?
I don't know. To me, it strikes me like as a Midwest, there's a joke about a Midwesterner. He loved his wife so much, he almost told her once. And like, that's just, is that like a, right? And there's like a Midwestern attitude like that. You just, don't be too effusive with your praise? Cause then people will feel appreciated for their labor. I don't know what the logic is behind it. Cause I need constant praise constantly.
Absolutely. And even then Never enough.
Never enough. Matter of fact, how did I do? Have I done so far? Have I done okay, Trevor? Tell me I've done okay. Tell me I'm a good boy.
Ask Jess.
Ah, well played, good sir. Well played. Yeah. So that's how he would. Yeah.
Super interesting.
He would praise you to other people, but not necessarily to you.
But goldfish.
Goldfish. He's going to talk about their sensuality all day long.
All day long.
Yeah. What I think is cool is he would act out the scenes that he wanted done. So you can imagine him like acting out.
Yeah.
Because I do that Walt Wednesday thing where on Instagram I'll post a Walt Wednesday non-historical fact, some random thing. So I have so many just weird pictures of Walt.
Okay. I would love to see Walt acting out Cleo. You're like, Walt, you don't need the lipstick and the mascara.
No.
How are you supposed to know? How are you supposed to know how his lips look?
You don't want it, but you need it. That was his motto.
Is this making you uncomfortable? Well, that's all I had. Thank you for joining today.
That's it? The weird Walt quotes? Yeah, I got nothing. I just know there's the one Walt quote that everybody thinks is his, but it's not.
What is?
And even Disney had it. Not if you can dream it. I think it's if you can dream it, you can do it.
Yeah.
That's not a Walt quote. And everybody thinks it is. Marty Sklar wrote it. And even the Disney company has incorrectly used it as a quote.
Oh.
Yeah, if you want to piss off Disney historians, throw that quote in. Yeah.
Marty Sklar wrote it.
As Abraham Lincoln said, don't believe everything you read on the internet. That's same energy.
Lovely.
So what's important? What's going on? My birthday's coming up. I'm very excited about that.
That's right. Mardi Gras.
I am boldly and proudly, unashamedly bragging about my birthday every year. I don't know why.
What year is this? If you don't mind me asking.
It's 2023.
Oh. Well, I was way off.
You were way off. Yeah. I'm going to be 56.
Hey.
I'm getting up there.
Look at you. I
that's why I got the dad shirt on.
Okay.
The World War II fighter plane dad shirt.
That's right.
Because I went to the Palm Springs Air Museum. It was awesome.
It looks cool.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
A lot of very old men who are just anxious to tell you stuff. And they're like watching you. And there's like one guy from like the Vietnam era. And he was just kind of hanging out and you could ask him a question, but the other guys are like, you look like you have a question. And I'm like, no, I'm good. And I'm looking at the Spitfire. So he starts to tell me about it. And he got a couple things wrong.
Oh,
no, like, actually it's because of this, well, how do you know that? I'm like, I'm a history professor. Well, did you know? And he like, I wasn't going to stop him from teaching me about other things. I'm like, you walked up to me.
Are these just enthusiast volunteers?
Yes.
Or are they actual like... Well,
no,
they couldn't have been World War II
pilots. They couldn't, not anymore.
Yeah.
No, they'd just be a head in a jar. But like we went to the living desert. They would. They'd roll it over. That's right. I fought Hitler.
Whoa, my gosh.
This is my plane.
Nazis experimented on me. That's right? Why I'm a head in a jar.
That's why I'm a head in a jar. I was rescued in '07. I don't know. That's the wrong war.
What do you have? What's your first...
That was it, my birthday. And that was it. I just want to spend 45 minutes talking about...
Okay, that's fine. It's your birthday episode.
No, that'd be too much. No, I didn't say I make a big deal out of it because my birthday is on Valentine's Day. And so every year on my birthday, because you have a summer birthday.
Yes, I do.
That my birthday every year was like a full day party at my elementary school. Like...
But how tall were you as a child? Were you always tall?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you didn't get the punches and everything.
No. I was always the tallest kid in my class.
Okay.
Until like junior high. That's why I stopped getting as many fights because I saw kids that were much bigger than me. I'm like, oh, crap. And then I realized some of the kids that weren't bigger than me were significantly stronger than me. I was as tall. It's like a tall piece of spaghetti. getting ready to get snapped. So, yeah. What else? We could talk about my Udemy class. I've been very excited about that.
I'd love to.
I was hesitant to talk about it too much last episode because I was afraid Disney was going to come and sue me and take away the $40 that I've made so far. But I was real careful on the images I used, thanks to a few people that may or may not work for the company.
There you go.
That gave me some good advice. But it's been a blast to get comments and messages from people.
Good
about
stuff.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I'm really happy about it. So I might do a part two eventually.
Really?
Yeah.
And so the part one covers what again? I think you mentioned it last movie.
Everything up until Walt Disney's death.
Got it.
So like all the concepts and ideas and the planning.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't want to do the whole thing in one. I'm like, what if Disney gets all pissed off? So I tried to fix it so they wouldn't. If I do the second one, the only person who's going to get pissed off is Bob Chapek and Paul Pressler, but they deserve it. They have it coming. So
Chapek, that poor, poor man.
Poor man.
Oh my goodness. Can you imagine being the CEO and getting let go so publicly and then just having to have $20 million stuffed down your pants as you
right?
leave?
Right. They could have fired me for $5 million. They could have saved so much money.
That's a steal.
Right? Right there, I could have saved the Disney company.
I'll undercut you. Fire me for $1 million.
I won't go that low. I got more things.
Fire away.
This
man.
Is a Valentine's theme.
Oh.
Jungle Cruise related Valentine's theme.
Wow.
I'm combining both. My Look love of you. The Jungle Cruise and my love of Valentine's Day.
Such a pro.
I'm trying to theme it. Right? I'm trying to work. I'm trying to work. Right. I got work as a writer. I gotta prove it. So although this isn't murder related, so that makes me much happier than writing about murder all day long. It's not my vibe, but I thought about do you have any romantic stories about working at Jungle Cruise? Doesn't have to be you being romantic or just romantic stories. And I'll start with one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let me think about it,
but yeah. Romantic Valentine's Day themed things. I was speeding in the jungle. But a lead called me out, Brett Malone, wonderful lead. And he's like, there's a guy coming by, and he kind of pointed at him, like at the other side of the dock. He's like, he's going to propose to his girlfriend. He wants to propose to her behind the backside of water.
Oh my goodness.
And I want you to be the skipper that does it. And so I'm like, why? He's like, you're the only guy here that's married. And I don't think you'll freak out. Like, it won't make you too nervous. And as soon as he said that, I got intensely nervous.
Oh no.
And so the guy comes over, he's like, I'm going to take her there. And so the three of us were like, Brett's like, okay, when you come back the exit, we'll put you on the, we'll load you special. And then at the backside of water, I'll hand you the mic. He's like, okay, great. And so I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And you do like 4 or 5 trips and you have your break, and they were supposed to be there. So I'm doing more trips and more trips.
Yeah.
And I've done like 6. So I'm done way past, which is a lot. And as I'm leaving the dock, I see them walk up. And I'm like, oh, because it was a busy day. So I do the trip as fast as I can.
Yeah.
And then I practice what I'm going to do, which frankly ruined the trip for the people who were on that boat, because it involved me like letting the boat just coast while I pretended to pout. And I did it. I made sure it worked. I went, yeah, that'll work. And I said it into the microphone, and the whole boat just stared at me like, I didn't say backside of water. I just said, yeah, that'll work. And just kept driving.
Like, so, he's insane.
Some people are like, I had the weirdest boat trip ever. He didn't do backside of water. He said, yeah, that'll work. So we load up, they get on. She clearly has no idea what's going on. And I give them my best boat ever. Like, I'm doing every killer joke. I'm tired, 'cause it's like my 7th trip by then.
Okay.
But I'm just going nuts, and I'm doing all the jokes, and I'm running around. And then when we get to like the rhino, I do a joke that I know isn't great. And then the hippo pool, I do a few more jokes that aren't that funny. And then when we get to the dancing natives, I do jokes that I think suck.
Okay.
And so I'm bringing the boat down, and I'm like, wait, you guys don't think I'm funny anymore? You guys were laughing the whole time. You don't think I'm funny anymore? You guys think you can do better? And they all kind of laugh at it. Here, you try it. And I hand him the microphone. Meanwhile, I was going full speed, and then I put it neutral.
Oh, yeah.
So it's coasting to the backside of water. I said, you do it. And he grabs the mic, and everybody laughs, and he stands up with the microphone, and everybody laughs. And then I sit down, and he turns and looks at her, and he's like, honey, blah, blah, blah. And then as they're talking, people are like, what is going on? And when she realizes he's proposing, she starts to cry. And I didn't notice this, but in the back there were like 8 or 10 junior high girls. And when they figure out what's happening, they start to just scream and cry. They're like, oh my God. So the whole boat is going nuts. And she says yes. And it didn't dawn on me, what if she says no? But she says yes. And they hug, and it's just, everybody claps and cheers. And like Brett had the boats behind me, like hold. So we had extra time.
Oh, nice.
So we weren't rushed. And it was this beautiful romantic moment. And then I get the microphone back, and they hug, and as we're driving around, I'm like, well, I got like another 2 minutes to get back to the dock. I don't have any material.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, so where are you two from? They said Las Vegas. So I just made fun of them and Las Vegas for the rest of the time. And then when I come around Trader Sam, I had to flash the light on and off if she said yes. So there was like a signal if she said no. But they had gone and gotten bride and groom Mickey ears and put their names on them for free.
Oh my gosh.
Jungle Cruise skippers, man, we kick ass. So Brent sent a guy to go do it. And when they came around, we had the little veil on it and the little top hat. So they came around and they all, the whole doc was cheering because they made an announcement on the PA and they give them the things and they took pictures with me and
wow.
They left. Best part about it, they got off and left and never had tears in their eyes. It was wonderful. My boat partner maxed on me, so I had to do one more trip. I did eight trips. It was like over an hour in the boat.
Oh my god.
Just spieling. And yeah. That was like and we have a friend who got married at the backside of water. Married.
Really?
At the backside of water. Wanda and her husband, who you recorded some of your first album at, Dave.
That's right.
They actually got married there.
Wow.
Yeah. Jason Lewis, the skipper, the former lead, arranged it. And they had a minister come and their friends, and they took a Jungle Cruise boat out, I think at night.
That's insane.
And just parked back at the backside of water, and they did the ceremony real quick. And
how nice.
I know, right? How cool is that? That's my romantic story.
I don't have any romantic stories.
None?
At Disneyland, because I would say 9 times out of 10, because I'm an ass and I'm just looking out for like, oh, who's in a bad mood? Who's entertaining to watch? And all I see are couples like me and Jess had commented on it when we were like people watching in the parks, like they are not going to make it through the day. They're done.
Okay. One of our good friends, Cassandra, right?
Okay,
Cassandra, yeah. Libut, great trainer and great Jungle Cruise skipper. She and friends would go and do fake proposals.
Really?
Where someone proposed to her and she's an actress and she can cry. Look, say cry right now. And she'll just start to cry.
Yeah.
And the tears and the whole thing.
Oh,
it's,
my gosh.
She can do it really fast. And he would get down on one knee in front of the castle and goes, oh, and she would start to cry. I told you to stop asking me. And she'd storm away.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
So they would occasionally go and he would propose to her and she would have this crying fit and run away. And then it was just awkward as he was on his knee with the little box. Isn't that brilliant?
It's amazing. That reminds me, I always wanted to, and maybe I will still someday. I always wanted to rent like a child actor for the day and bring them to the park and then just get in violent, loud arguments in line. Just like adult level, like vile spitting it out of that kid's mouth at me.
Don't. You're the reason your mother and I are divorced. God. Don't do that. I almost got in a fight with a dad.
Really?
At French Market. Like 3 years ago as a guest.
Really?
Because he was out of control angry with his kids. But I gave him and he glared at me and I gave him the, I just looked at him and I just went, calm down. And I like just mouthed it to him and he was pissed. And I just kept eye contact with him. I'm like, shit, I don't want to get arrested for fighting at Disneyland.
Because that's a possibility nowadays.
It is a possibility. But you could tell his kids were like scared and the wife just had her head down like, okay, this is just how he gets. And I'm like, no, this behavior is unacceptable.
Yeah, no.
And he kind of looked at me and I'm like, all I know about fighting is if you break eye contact when you've challenged somebody, they're going to come and kill you.
Like a baboon.
Exactly like a baboon. That's how I live my life, like a baboon. I have a bright red and blue butt and I'll show it to you. And so don't do that. Yeah, he calmed down.
Okay.
Because our friends were like, you were going to go fight that guy. I'm like, I don't know, I didn't want to fight him, but he needed to not terrify his children because one of them was like eating too fast. It was like something like, what? Why are you that angry at Disney? I mean, I get it at Disneyland because it's a $9 million.
High stakes.
It is,
but
high
still
stakes.
No excuse for yelling at the fam.
That's not going to make the day better.
No.
It's not. No. Not. Well, we had a lead. I don't want to say his name. Andy McGuire. Oh. But he would take girls he liked out on Deadheads late at night.
Hmm. I have stories about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's let's throw that under the umbrella of romance.
Oh, basically, romance for me, then yeah.
People getting naked at the Jungle Cruise or whatnot.
It's like shooting fish in a barrel sometimes because you're set up to look awesome.
Yeah.
You're driving a boat through a jungle.
Yeah.
At the time I was there, you were dressed like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the heavy lifting's already been done for you. As long as you're not an idiot, you're looking pretty good.
Yeah.
And so I got to, meet a couple of females here and there throughout the my tenure at the park. And Haunted Mansion was always great. And this was prior to the Matterhorn making a space for Jesus in between the seats.
Yeah.
So that was good as well.
Matterhorn was class. Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
That was,
you had to be very careful about the, about your relationship status with whoever sat in front of you.
There was a lot of babies that were accidentally made on there that were, lift hill.
There were, now there's just spinal cord damage. That's right. On that ride.
My poor knees. I can't take that ride anymore.
That ride kills me. They ruined it with the new bobsleds. If you're, our friend Kip said, if you're over 6 foot, do not go on that ride. And I'm like, how bad could it be? Sweet baby Jesus. It was like getting punched in the spleen for 5 minutes.
It's so.
While your knees got hurt.
Yeah. It's so violent.
Yes.
Like whenever they trot out that old bullet point, like it's the first tubular steel roller coaster in America. Yeah, I can tell.
Really? Is that, that's a shock.
It
is
it shows.
Really? Yeah. And I don't know why they made it so much more uncomfortable. Who did they test this on? Short people. That's my theory.
That's right.
Right?
That's a violent, violent ride.
It is. It is. I, yeah, I remember taking my youngest daughter up it. Cause you, there was like no height requirement on that ride for little kids. My daughter's little, she's like three. She's like, I don't know how she's old enough to go on this roller coaster, but she was. So we're going up the Matterhorn and she's little. And as we're riding up, I think, holy crap. The first thing you see is a Yeti trying to kill you.
Okay.
She's going to lose her mind. And I realized I'm the worst father ever. I got like 15 seconds to fix this. And we had a friend, Kristen Poocher, who used to work there. And so she told me that, that he has a name. His name is Harold. And I couldn't remember the name for the longest time. As we get to the top, I'm like, okay, Olivia, there's a guy in here. His name is Harold and he's a monster and he's really friendly, but he likes to play tricks. He likes to pretend to be scary. Okay. So when he does it, say, knock it off, Harold. Cause he's just, he'll know. Cause we have friends, right, who work in the mountains. So they know. So just say, knock it off, Harold. And so we're there and he goes, and she just jumps in her whole body. She goes, and she looks at me and you could tell she was scared. She went, Harold's being silly. I'm like, yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Oh my goodness.
Sweet baby Jesus. The things you got to think of all of a sudden.
That's quick. Yeah, quick thinking.
Thanks.
I was a small child and it was the Disney Halloween, not the Halloween, the Disney Christmas party for the employees.
Oh, cool.
My dad worked the Angels.
Uh-huh.
I'm not super tiny, but I'm not full size.
Yeah.
And we go on the Matterhorn and they send it before I can get my seatbelt on. That was the most terrifying Matterhorn ride I've ever been on.
Oh my God.
Holding on for actual dear life.
Did you ever get fixed in time?
No, I was seatbeltless the entire ride. And then years later, I found out that's how people die on the Matterhorn. It was terrifying.
Oh my God.
That was the most white knuckle ride I've ever had.
Wow.
Just bitterly hanging on.
Yeah. Do you remember the corkscrew ride at Knott's Berry Farm? Roller coaster, and then its main thing was it would do this corkscrew for a while. It was basically a bunch of loops.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I was a school bus driver, you got to go to Knott's Berry Farm for free. Like, we would drop off, you know, kids would go there for field trips and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then you would go pick them up in the afternoon if you drove there fast enough. You could, like, have time to go on a couple rides.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's go on a ride. And the older bus driver's like, no, let's talk about the union. I'm like, no, I'm in my 20s. I'm going on the ride. So I went on the corkscrew by myself and the guy's just sitting there. And as the thing is going, he's clicking each car with his foot to lock the things down and he misses my car. I hear him go, whoa! And it just, we keep going. And I'm like,
oh no.
And as we hit the lift, I lift it all the way over my head and the girls behind me start screaming. They're like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, they're going to stop the ride because they're not locked.
Yeah.
Nope. They didn't.
Oh no.
And so I'm just like, and I tell him, like, centrifugal force will probably hold it. And so probably. I hold on to the little side rails and it didn't move, but as you were going up and down, you could kind of feel the bar lift up and hit you. And, but as the corkscrewing, the force of gravity holds you in.
Thank you, science. But
I'd never been so terrified on a roller coaster ever.
Did you make it?
I died.
Oh no. I did.
I'm a ghost right now.
This is blowing my mind.
This is an October. This is the October episode.
That's right.
Yeah. So I thought, wow, we're not supposed to leave our buses to go on roller coaster rides. And now I'm going to die because of it. Yeah.
Knott's Berry Farm is a wild place. I haven't been too much. We went when we were little and there were the boxcar racers. You remember?
Oh,
those?
Yeah.
Those were a blast.
Those were awesome.
We'd go on those and then, I actually want to get your take on this. Okay. I've been asking a couple people lately.
Okay.
Jess hates this place, I love it.
Okay.
Mrs. Knott's Chicken Restaurant. Where do you stand on that?
I've decided I need to go one more time.
Okay. You're on the fence?
One time I went, I'd never been my whole life.
Yeah.
My whole life till literally 5 or 6 years ago, right before COVID hit, I finally went. Great meal. I loved everything. So much food. I loved it. I went with my daughter, my oldest daughter, just a couple of years ago. Just the two of us went for the day to Knott's Berry Farm. Mm-hmm. So we got to go to Mrs. Knott's. We went, worst meal. And she's like, why do you like this place? Like, this food is awful. And I'm like, it was, what could have happened in like 3 or 4 years where the whole food experience went downhill. So I decided it needs one more.
Okay. We'll go. I'm down to go one more time.
Okay.
Cause I enjoy it. I enjoy the chicken noodle soup and the whole thing's great.
It was great. First time I went was with Chris Ramirez and Danielle DeGrado and a bunch of people that were very excited, skippers that love it and were very excited about it. So I had that vibe. So I was trying to bring that to my family and it failed miserably. but I remember I called my mom. I'm like, why did we never go here? She's like, well, it was so far away. I'm like, Mom, I checked, it's 7 miles from where we grew up. It's not, that is not far away. From Orange to Buena Park is not.
Not at all.
That is not a drive. That is not a far drive at all.
Knott's is a weird park. Obviously, I would say Disney's the A tier.
Yeah.
And Knott's, no knocking Knott's, no. But it's a B tier park.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. For sure.
I mean, it costs, I think it's like 75 cents to get in now for the year.
For a year pass, annual pass is $1.50. They raised it a lot.
Oh,
it is.
Yeah,
it's a buck and yeah.
It's getting quarters. A little too much. That's a little too expensive for it.
Took my girls over once. I'm like, man. And I said, this is how I said it. Man, too many Raider fans here. And my daughter goes, Daddy, aren't we Raider fans? I'm like, yeah, but not like this.
You're walking through it and you're like, okay, it's a ghost town. Great. Roller coasters. Sure.
Sure.
There's like, have you been in that one part where there's like a, an alligator that's dressed like Elton John singing Crocodile Rock. It's just like on the side of the lagoon. There's no rhyme or reason for it. I'm like, what was, did you just have stuff in a warehouse you needed to clear out?
That is weird. I remember we got annual passes for my mother-in-law. She bought them for us once when the girls were really little and most of the kid rides at Knott's Berry Farm, kids can't ride them. Little kids can't ride them.
Okay.
But they could go on the log jam ride.
That's weird.
Like I couldn't take my daughter on like some of the Snoopy bounce up and down rides. Those weren't for little kids.
Yeah.
But I could hold her on the log ride. That was perfectly acceptable.
That's weird.
Yep. I'm like, this is so much more dangerous. Just hope that I can hold my, right. my 2-year-old daughter as we plummet to our doom on a log ride, but don't let her sit in the Snoopy chair. That's too dangerous.
No, way too dangerous.
And at Disney they could go on dozens of rides. I'm like, why would we go here with little kids?
Right.
Cause it's $1.50. That's why.
Steering it back to the Matterhorn. There was one time, speaking of being a small child and going on rides, I was allowed to go in the park. Somebody paid for me to go into the park with their kid. It's like a family trip because, I was supposed to ride all the rides with him.
Okay.
So they could not go on the rides.
Nice.
So it was great going on all the rides, get to the Matterhorn. Not going to go on the Matterhorn. Because at the time I thought as a kid, it went all the way up to the top.
Yeah.
And you would go down like, and it was all crazy. And I'm like, I'm afraid of heights.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I did not. I would not budge. I was young and this adult was like yelling at me like, you got to get on the ride with them. That's why we paid for you to be here. I'm like, I'm not going on it. I'm sorry. No. And so they went on the Matterhorn, which is the worst ride at Disneyland as far as like beating you up.
Yeah, it is.
And I found out later they had a heart condition. That's why.
Oh, no. Go on, why did they just tell you that?
They should have just said, I will die if I go on this ride. I will
literally die if you don't go on this ride.
It would be your fault.
Yeah. That would have worked.
It would have.
Yeah.
Or maybe it wouldn't have. I don't know.
Depending on how much they were yelling at you before that. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a painful ride now that they've made more painful.
Yeah.
It wasn't so bad until they made it the single seat thing.
I mean, yeah, the single seats
awful.
Beat the crap out of you and deprives a generation of young lads and lasses
yep.
and whatever you want to identify yourself as
yep.
of getting, you know, getting a little comfy.
Yep. 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 I just remember the fear of being excited or not being excited enough.
You could,
if you know what I mean, like, uh-oh, this might, this might ruin the whole day, or it could make the whole day. I have no idea. But at a certain point, you're no longer in control.
You just got to picture that Yeti.
Hi, Harold. And don't, but if you do, don't think of Cleo the fish.
Don't think of Cleo the fish. That would, or Walt dressed as Cleo the fish, which could go either way, depending
on
how things work
for
you. He was
a handsome man. I just want to know where Donnie and Marie, how they rode that ride. Would they, you know, it's, is that a weird thought to have? Because whatever they did is the wrong answer. I'm just going to say that.
They've had that thought themselves. Whatever we're thinking, they've had it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an awkward picture. There's a lot of great photos of Walt at the park, but there are a couple awkward ones. And one of them is at the Matterhorn.
Okay.
Where he is there and he's got a young lady sitting in, you know, with him.
Yeah.
And then in the seat behind him is the Shah of Iran. If you don't know, the Shah of Iran, the reason why Iranians hate us, the nation of Iran hates America so much. We propped this guy up for decades and he murdered tens of thousands of his own people. He was not a nice guy. And here's a picture of him and Walt riding the Matterhorn together. Yeah. And I'm like, that's one you should probably kind of keep in the archives. Don't, don't let you and the Shah of Iran, don't put that picture out there too much.
It's in the one man's dream. Exhibit. It is.
Here's a dictator he hung out with. He was installed as a puppet leader by the CIA in 1956. Yeah, that's
oh my goodness.
Yeah, awkward.
Donnie and speaking of you know, dictators that have been installed for mm-hmm. decades mm-hmm. at the against the will of people. Yes. Donnie and Marie.
Yes,
they were in everything for some reason around the 70s. Was it?
Everything. And the Disney company loved them.
I don't know why.
Because they were nice, pure little Mormons. They're not suddenly going to go, I guess the technical phrase is they're not going to go Miley Cyrus on you.
I guess so.
They're still bright and shining happy because they're heavily sedated.
They could have. I don't know if you know this.
Yes.
Donnie's a little bit rock and roll.
He is. She tones it down with her little bit country. God, I used to watch that show as a kid.
They were on a Disney special. It was like one of the... Yeah. It was the anniversary special that has Danny Kaye doing a litany of very racist impersonations for about 2 hours.
Oh, no.
Did not age well.
No. God, I love Danny Kaye. I got to watch that. And Drew Barrymore's in it.
That's right.
And she's like 5 or 6 or whatever.
I feel like Michael Jackson's in that one, too.
Ooh, uh-oh. Probably not by Drew Barrymore for obvious reasons.
He's following Donnie for some reason.
Oh, that makes sense. That tracks. Although he was like in his 30s by then, so... He'd lost his looks.
That's right. Some of the sheen had
exactly
gone off those teeth.
Exactly. Like I know there's people that have a family resemblance, and then there's Donnie Marie Osmond, where if you did that app, like the app they did with me, where they took a picture of me and turned me into a female,
yes,
it would just be the same photo.
It would just be Marie.
It would be Brie. It'd be so, because it came back. I'm like, if this looks like my sister, that would be kind of funny. Or if I look like my daughters, that'd be kind of funny. I'm like, oh no, I'm neither. I'm just really attractive. And now I feel awkward. Yeah, the weirdest thing was I posted on Instagram and put, yeah, I'd totally hit on her, and she'd reject me. And I got messages from several guys going, yeah, I'd hit on her. I'm like, you didn't need to message me that.
Well, you know, if you ever need any extra money, you know how to get it.
I can get some work done.
There you go.
And, I got it. Can I make my statement?
Please.
I have a statement to make.
We both have statements to make that can round out this episode.
Okay. You want to do your statement first?
Yeah, you can go first.
Okay. And I might post this on Instagram as well, for people to stop posting like really wild political things on my Instagram about Disney. Cause I'm just going to delete them. Once I get not a lot, but if I get one, it's always this, it's that the Disney company is grooming children. And it's like, Walt is a pervert. And I had one today. And it was a thing about Walt and Chapek. And they're like, the Disney company is kind of control. And it was about children and this and that. And so I said, the only thing the Disney company is grooming your kids to be is mindless consumers of everything the Disney company produces.
That's correct.
That is literally the end. They want your kids to be excited about Genie Plus and Magic Bands. That's what they want.
Correct.
That's the only grooming they're doing is the grooming of capitalism.
My statement is I would like to, if you listened to earlier episodes, we were pleading for somebody to check on Bob Gurr.
Yes.
So I'm not going to say who, but they heard that episode and they are having lunch with Bob Gurr soon. They're going to find out, but they have been in contact since that episode.
Yes.
They think he's fine.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Because they said his manager right now is pretty good. And they said that he wouldn't do as much as he's doing if he didn't want to. He genuinely seems to be enjoying himself.
Okay.
So that makes me feel good.
That makes me very happy. But yes. Will you give us a full Bobger update?
I will give you a full Bobger episode.
Okay.
And then I also, if Bobger or his management is listening, I have an idea for him. Because there was that car chase a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, where the car did some loop-de-loops in the Anaheim Stadium parking lot.
I'm addicted to car chases. Yeah.
And I was thinking, what better way for Bobger to ring in, like, say, his 91st birthday than a high-speed car chase in an Autopia car on the freeway?
Yes.
I'm just throwing it out there. I would love to see it.
Yes.
Or, you know, it could be his for his birthday. Or it could just be Bobger going out in a blaze of glory.
That's how I'm doing it.
Just Autopia car on the 5 freeway.
Yeah.
Throwing firecrackers at cop cars.
Yep.
He ends it at Disneyland. I'm thinking this through right now. I haven't thought of this. He ends at Disneyland.
If they open those little gates, he could drive right into Main Street.
That's right.
They pull, you know, right
he
there.
He strips down, runs to Tomorrowland. Gets on the monorail.
Okay.
Hijacks the monorail.
Okay.
Takes it up to what can they why say his he, top speed is? 65?
Why is he stripping down?
I don't know. I feel like just an extra level.
Okay.
Let's keep leveling this up.
Okay. Okay. I don't know what it could hit.
He wouldn't be fully nude. I would tastefully speedoed out.
Okay.
They always say, like, the monorail can go up to 65 miles an hour, but we're going to keep it at a comfortable cruising speed of 30 miles an hour, something like that. So take it to its max speed, preferably full of people. And then, I don't know. I don't know what the end game is there.
He should be like throwing presents and gifts out the window as he drives
that's
by.
That's a nice idea. Maybe at some point he leaps from the monorail onto the Matterhorn.
There you go.
Scales the Matterhorn.
Climbs to the top.
He's getting all of his greatest hits in.
Right?
Yeah.
Why not?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
Somebody contact his management and see how much that would cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have $25 right now in my bank account.
I got 26.
There we go. So combine it.
We're already over 50. We have over $50. Ready to go. He could drive one of his Main Street vehicles out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like they'd let him leave.
If the fire truck guy, you know the story about the fire truck guy?
No.
But they had the Disney parade, the Disney float in the Tournament of Roses parade, and it had the fire truck that's there. And it's the same guy that always drives it. And they're like, oh, this is the guy that always drives. And it was like, and he's like famous on Instagram as the guy that drives the fire truck. And that's cool. But I know from guys that work with him that he doesn't let anybody else drive the fire truck. Like when he goes on break, he takes it in the back and parks it.
What?
And doesn't allow, because I know someone who worked there. He's like, yeah, I worked there for a year, never got to. And Walt drove the fire truck. It was Walt's favorite. So this guy drives it because it was Walt's favorite. And he doesn't allow anybody else to drive it. So on breaks, he parks it and doesn't let anybody, every other Main Street vehicle, when you go on your lunch break, a different driver just takes it over and keeps driving it. Not when he does it and the managers let him because he's done it for so long.
Oh my God.
So he's like the only one allowed to drive it. So when I saw it and I go, oh, it's going to be that old, really old gray hair. And sure enough, he's driving in the parade. I'm like, God, you gotta, you know, share the wealth.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, just me and Walt. It's like, no, because I still don't know what your name is.
It's not Walt.
It's not Walt.
Wow.
It's a good way to end it. Not Walt.
Not Walt. Now you throw some lipstick on that guy. Get him dressed up as Cleo.
Cleo.
Might be a little Walt.
I'd let him go a few more years doing that. Yeah. Faux show.
There's a certain sensuality to a fire truck driver dressed like a goldfish.
There is. Especially when he's in his late 80s.
That's right.
Very sensual.
Attention in the jungle. All lights, sound, and animation to be shut off immediately. Please stand clear.